All right, and welcome to another episode of Two Guys, One Level, a place where two guys talk about all things gaming. I'm your host, Tortuga, accompanied by Pixel.
Welcome back to another episode. Always glad to be doing this with Tortuga here, going through the motions, talk about video games and video game related news. The big one lately, we have to talk about it. I know Tortuga is making his way through, but Fallout, the TV show on Amazon. How are you enjoying it so far?
I'm enjoying it. It's pretty good. I think they did a good job with the full adaptation that is Fallout. They definitely capture a lot of what's in the game, and I think they did justice to the live adaptation to it. It's been pretty good. It's been true to the story. There's a lot of Easter eggs if you've played throughout the series. But I honestly, outside looking in, if you're not familiar with Fallout, this is a weird ass show.
You know, I can kind of see that, but overall, I think if you're just going into it as like some sort of new IP, then you'll enjoy it either way. It's just a weird world. It's like trying to think of something that wasn't really adapted. Maybe like The Expanse or like Dune, right? Like if you just didn't read like those books and you just hopped into a show, you know, it's like the same thing as anything like that, where it's new. It's a new world to a lot of people. But as Tortuga said, it definitely is faithful to the world, especially as you get to the later episodes. You kind of see a lot of stuff. You know, like something that really caught my eye is in the first episode, you see some stim packs. Lucy talking to the council was basically like the TV show's version of her setting up her special stats, which I thought was pretty cool. The ghouls looked really good. And
oh yeah, they did a fantastic job on those effects. One thing that I was surprised, and it was really cool to see, is that they kept the Pip-Boy menu screen intact, the exact same, the exact same tabs and everything, and what they show per tab. And I'm like, that's a nice touch.
Yeah, and something that I just found out is the Bethesda kind of let the showrunners kind of do what they want. Like they really weren't on top of them like that. So the T-45 power armor that you see, they kept it faithful to the game because they wanted to. Like they could have made something completely different and they just didn't. What I did like is this, it's not something you saw until Fallout 4, is how you enter the power armor through the back, the way it opens up with the fusion core being needed as well. I like how they adapted that into the TV show as well.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, it's important to note that Fallout 4 was my first and only interaction with the Fallout series. I tried 3 after playing 4. It wasn't for me. I tried New Vegas.
It's just too dated at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is what it is. I know there's a lot in there. And if you were one of the lucky few to start from the very beginning, you know, to explore every city, every release of the game, like this is just the best thing ever to release on Amazon Prime in a long time.
Right, right. You know, a lot of people enjoyed the Rings of Power, but that was mostly mixed reviews, even though it was relatively positive. But the reaction to Fallout, where you're getting people who play the games to people who are just interested to see what this is all about, who have never touched a Fallout game, to go in and binge the 8 episodes. I could not get enough, you know. Ella Purnell, I think her name is, the protagonist. She did a fantastic job, you know, acting like a vault dweller. I saw an interview with her where she actually went in and played a couple Fallout games before filming, so she can get familiar with the world. So, you know, kind of like prepping for a job, essentially. Yeah. But I think it's great that she took that initiative on herself. Walter Goggins is pretty much great in everything that I see him in. So I was not surprised at his performance. He's the ghoul, the main ghoul. Yeah, he, you know, from Django to The Hateful Eight. Where else have I seen him? He was in a show for a while. I think it was The Shield, if I'm not mistaken. But he's just a phenomenal actor. I honestly, the show made me go back into Fallout 4. So I've been enjoying that a little bit before the massive update that they're putting out for free on April 25th.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of missed the mark on that, unfortunately. There's just, it's so dated of a game right now that it doesn't run as well on modern computers. But what's interesting, Fallout 4 is the most sold game for April, for the month of April, because of this show.
Right, and not only that, I don't know if they're doing it on consoles, but they put it on sale on Steam. So you had the Game of the Year edition for like $8 or $9 or something.
Yeah, I think I saw it for $5 on the Xbox store as well as on Steam. I don't know about the Game of the Year edition, but I definitely saw it down to $5, which I think is a solid price. You know, it's a full game. There's a lot to explore. And once they push out that update to make it run on modern hardware, it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. It's about 5 days from now once that comes out, and that'll be the game that I'm playing. Just going to re-enjoy Fallout 4.
Yeah, I've been doing so much in there, but, you know, per usual in Bethesda fashion, I've only done like 3 or 4 like story or campaign missions. Like everything else I've been doing side stuff, you know, from the settlements to exploring to like random stuff. I've actually dived into the settlement building portion a lot more this time around.
Gotcha.
It's still pretty annoying. I don't know if it's a DLC or not, because I don't remember it in the base game when I first played it. But towards like the southeast, you can tune into a radio station for Vault 88, and it's a massive underground area. It's basically like a full vault. You get to unlock like vault structures, so you can like build your own vault down there.
That was not included in the initial game. I do not remember anything like that at all. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. Like it's the Overseer. She had like a message playing, and she survived. She was there before the war, so she's a ghoul now. But you help her like recruit some people, and then you can just build like it's like a vault. You get like vault looking, you know, like hallways, doors, flooring, and all that stuff. You got like new, I think the biggest power generator that you could get was the fusion one that provided like 100 power or something like that. And then you have like two basically look like something that will be in the core of an elite dangerous ship that provides like 500 power. Like,
whoa. Yeah. I mean, that sounds pretty cool. Hopefully it wasn't a DLC and it's part of this massive update that they're going to push out, because that sounds like something worth exploring.
It was really fun. It really was. But to kind of move on a little bit, Tortuga and I, you know, we cannot get enough of Baldur's Gate 3, but looks like Larian Studio can. So Larian Studio a couple weeks ago, you know, officially announced that there is not going to be a sequel or any additional DLC planned for the game. They have some updates in the pipeline that they were just going to do no matter what, but there's not going to be any additional content from that perspective from them. But what they have done recently is that they added some additional evil endings into the game. With, of course, bug fixes and things of that nature. While Larian said that they're not going to be doing a sequel, it looks like Hasbro, and I'm pretty sure they're the ones who bought Wizards of the Coast a couple years ago, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it looks like they're still looking to have more Baldur's Gate content. They're looking to make Baldur's Gate 4, essentially. Hasbro wants to continue the franchise. I mean, I'm sure. I'm kind of curious how Baldur's Gate 3 affected the tabletop as far as like purchases and books and all that good stuff.
So I can speak firsthand on that. Since the games come out, it's pretty cool in the sense that it was the introduction to Dungeons and Dragons for a lot of people. You would have thought that the movie would have done it, but it turns out Baldur's Gate 3 brought more people into Dungeons and Dragons. It was like, oh, this game is pretty cool. Let me try Dungeons and Dragons, you know, in its former glory and in its natural habitat. But with that came the unfortunate negative effect of the fact that Larian Studios kind of changed so much about spells and how the game actually works that a lot of people thought that, you know, their barbarian could do certain things in the game that they couldn't do at the table, because that's just not how the rules were actually designed through the tabletop. So there's always been that bit of tension of trying to break away from, well, that's how it works in the game, but that's not how it works at all in the tabletop.
Right. And I can imagine you, from your perspective as a DM, how that would be frustrating if, I don't know if you've had any yet picking up any games, but I can imagine someone coming straight from Baldur's Gate to the tabletop, like, oh, I want to do this. It's like, you can't. So what do you mean? It's in Baldur's Gate. It's, you know, based off of Dungeons and Dragons. Why can't I do it here? So I can only imagine what those conversations would be like for you.
Yeah. I mean, and it just, it's not the end of the world, right? You just explain it to them. They thought that a spell worked a certain way because they restructured it for Baldur's Gate to make it feel more gamey, right? And then they thought that certain spells would have additional effects or bonuses that were carried out into the game that aren't part of the tabletop. So, I mean, it's more frustrating for the player than it is for me. I'm just the bearer of bad news in those scenarios. It just takes them a minute to read the tabletop description of what they're trying to do. And then they always see that that additional effect is not written and therefore not part of that spell.
Gotcha. Well, I hope for all DMs out there, it's not too terrible, but I can definitely see how a particular player character would just be insistent that the rules go one way and not your way or the correct way out of the handbook.
Yeah, you're always going to get run into that. But usually if they're coming from Baldur's Gate 3 as basically their introduction to Dungeons and Dragons, they're pretty malleable. They're willing to listen and adapt to the tabletop version. And I can't think of anything that Larian Studios did that we would honestly say this was done better in the game. So let's adapt it into the book. So for the most part, it's what, in my opinion, Larian Studios watered down a lot of things in the game. Like I said, to make it more game feely as opposed to super structured as it is in the tabletop version.
Gotcha. For those who have been looking forward to this, we are getting the PC release for Ghost of Tsushima in a couple of weeks. I believe the release date on Steam is May 16th. A beautiful, beautiful game. I honestly cannot wait to dive back into the world, to the island of Tsushima. I love the combat in this game. Like, I really cannot get enough. A very well open world game.
It's a port that I'm looking forward to. It looked pretty cool, so I'm kind of glad that it's making its way to a proper system.
I'm not too crazy about the fact that it's a full $60, even if it is coming with like the one DLC that they released. It looks like they are jumping from their $50, you know, PC port to 60. Not too crazy about that. I mean, the game is 4 years old at this point. But I don't know. It's just Sony being Sony, we know.
Hey, at least they didn't go full Skyrim and for some reason decided to charge $80 for a game that's been re-released for the last 15 years.
That's crazy. I did not. Their last one was like that. Was that expensive?
$70 or $80 on the Switch. Same game. Nothing changed.
Yes. Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that was insane. I can't believe I forgot about that. Shame on them.
So if they're keeping it at $60, which was the price of when it was released, which I can respect that, you know. So for me, I don't mind. For others like yourself who've already played it, I can see that's double dipping and that sucks. I would hate to do that. However, I did do that for Baldur's Gate 3, and that was well worth it because it was terrible on GOG.
It was terrible on GOG. I can't believe it was that terrible. But neither here nor there,
I guess.
Yeah, basically. So we have kind of good news, bad news on this. Take-Two Interactive, major publisher, has actually announced that they are laying off 5% of their workforce canceling several games in development. This was reported by Bloomberg, but they cited essentially a drive to, you know, save costs, as they always do, as the main reason for the layoffs, that they are actually expecting to lose somewhere in the realm of $200 million because of the layoffs. $35 million from the cost of firing the employees, like that's the employees' fault, and then about $140 million from projects that were canceled, which is interesting coming from them, because at the same time, or a couple weeks ago, before they announced the layoffs, Take-Two actually finalized the purchase of a development studio. So they purchased Gearbox from Embracer Group. And the lineup of Take-Two now is pretty interesting. So this is going to include 2K, and popular for their the NBA games, right? 2K. We have Rockstar Games, Private Division, two mobile publishers, T2 Mobile Games, and Zynga. You remember Zynga on Facebook? That's crazy. And Dynamix YZ.
You're just old.
Okay. All right. And that's a facial motion capture company. But I'm always interested in how these companies have enough to, you know, purchase an entire studio and then justify the layoffs. Like, it was something that Microsoft got a lot of flack for, where almost immediately when the ink wasn't even dry on the acquisition and they had fired almost like 2,000 employees. It was like 1,900 or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's business. I'm not surprised by one bit. Not to mention, especially in those fields, there's going to be so much overlap when you intake another company that's doing the exact same thing you're already doing. So you're just going to pick whichever is better in that overlap, and then whoever is not is just gonna have to find another gig somewhere else. It's, you know, capitalism at its finest.
That's honestly the best way you can say it. You know, such is life, as Winston said, John Wick 4. I actually just watched that, by the way, last night. Very, very enjoyable.
Which thing?
John Wick 4.
Ah, yes.
That was
so
fun.
Good. Yeah, so good. Speaking of John Wick, did you see the rumors that Keanu Reeves is going to voice Shadow in the next Sonic game, I think it was?
Yeah, no, Sonic movie, the third Sonic movie. Film.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm curious to see. So I enjoy the Sonic movies more than I thought I would, for sure. And something I really tried to avoid spoilers or like rumors with every fiber of my being. I really, really am not a fan. But I unfortunately caught a glimpse that people who enjoyed Sonic Adventure 2, which is where Shadow was introduced, are supposedly going to be real big fans of the next movie. So even if it's pretty close to the plot of Sonic Adventure 2, with that introduction, they can do a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I've never played the Sonic games. I mean, not too much, because that came out on Sega, if I remember right, which I didn't own. So I played it here and there if I ever went to someone's house who had a Sega. But outside of that, you know, it was just not a game that I played with. I played that, I don't remember the name, but it's like a skateboarding type thing that was on the 360 way back when. And that
sounds
was
like
it.
Sonic Riders.
Maybe. I couldn't tell you. But that was the only Sonic that I played, which was cool. I just didn't understand the hype of just going straight and spinning here and there. So, that's all it was. I mean, the music was cool, but that's basically all it was. You just bop to the music, then it's just like Temple Run. Swipe left, swipe right, jump sometimes. And that was the entire game.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I didn't enjoy Sonic because it always felt so... so misleading. So like at its core, it was more of a platformer than just like a speed right. running game.
Yeah.
So the game, you know, let you zoom through a lot of it, you know, and I'm talking like Sonic 1, 2, and 3 on the Sega Genesis. But you were able to die like quickly. You know, if you didn't have any rings and you got hit, that was basically how you died. But then you had like the pitfalls. There were times where you actually had to like stop and basically play it like a Mario game rather than a running Sonic game.
Gotcha.
So it was just weird. So, but with the Dreamcast, I ended up picking up Sonic Adventure, which was weird but fun. And then Sonic Adventure 2 was just a really solid game. I can honestly talk about that game. I still play it like to this day.
It's funny, but because I wasn't like a super fan or whatever, I feel like I was able to enjoy the Sonic movies with no problem. The story was cool. It was interesting. It was a little different. Animation was good. The acting was good. So I'm hyped to see what Sonic 3 is gonna end up being like, because let me tell you, I've said it before, if you want me to buy it, just throw Reeves in there and I'm sold instantly.
I don't care if
it comes out as hot garbage. I did not give two shits about Cyberpunk until he came out on stage and said, I'm in the game. And I'm like, well, guess who's buying Cyberpunk day one?
You're breathtaking. And that was it. That was sold.
That was it. That's all it takes. So I'm hyped to see what's going to come out of it. Obviously, once he gets included, that's like free promotion, free publicity. Just nonstop ads are going to come just from his name touched to it. Because I don't know what happened. I think it had to be when John Wick 1 became so popular. Like anything he touched from that point forward, everyone was all in.
Yeah, because it's not like he had like a slouch of a career. You know, he's been, right. you know, from Bill and Ted in the 90s, Point Break in the 90s, Speed. You know, he's been an action star, even like after The Matrix. You know,
right.
he's no slouch when it comes to like blockbusters.
Yeah, he has a few rom-coms under his belt, lot of action movies. Like he's no slouch when it comes to the big screen. But for whatever reason,
John Wick just did it for everyone. It had to be the hair and the beard. Yeah, that was like his first appearance with that transformation, if you will.
Yeah.
So I can definitely see that.
So, I mean, I'm here for it. So we'll see. We'll see what the new Sonic 3 is going to be like, because like I said, 1 and 2 were pretty good. They're not Oscar award winning movies. And I don't even know if the Oscars are the ones for the movies. But you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
It is. I know there's Oscars, Tonys, Emmys, and a whole bunch of whatever. Anyways, the ones for the movies specifically. I don't think it's going to win any awards, but they're good. They're entertaining. They're good to watch once or twice. And 3, I feel, is going to be the same thing.
Indeed. I mean, the Sonic voice actor, I think, did a great job. Idris Elba as Knuckles was fantastic. And I believe the voice actress for Tails is reprising her role from the games. There's been a couple, kind of like Ash has had a couple different voice actors.
Speaking of Ash, the main voice actress of Ash. We spoke about it. She didn't get renewed, I think, for the final or into the next Pokemon season, generation, or whatever. So she actually got a contract to come back to voice Caterpie in the new season.
That's interesting.
I just find it so funny. You go from being the main protagonist for decades, and then you have a 2 second scene as Caterpie.
Speaking of Pokemon, I can't believe we're just gonna gloss over this. A couple weeks ago, Apple went ahead and updated its store, whatchamacallit.
Because they had to.
Probably, you know, I wouldn't doubt it at all. They are now essentially allowing emulators in the App Store, which blew my mind. The first one is already out. Delta. It's like a purple icon with a white triangle inside. This is coming from a successor for the GBA for iOS emulator, which was on the App Store, I think, like decades ago. And then, of course, it was taken off. I believe it's the same developer. But the emulation is there. I have tested it out. and it currently supports the Nintendo Entertainment System, the Super Nintendo, the Nintendo 64, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, and Nintendo DS. Works out pretty well. And I was taking a look at Twitter, and one of the comments under it was that you can use the Bluetooth controllers for it. They connected the PS5, PS4 controllers for multiplayer on the Nintendo 64. So that's pretty interesting.
That's pretty funny. I'm curious to see what Nintendo's take and reaction is going to be to this. There's no way they're going to just sit on the sidelines and let people play their Nintendo games through an emulated app on their iPhones.
It's just the emulator. So this was what a lot of people, or what Nintendo went after a lot of websites for. I remember specifically coolrom.com is where I would get a lot of my emulators. And they had ROMs on the site as well. And they got hit with a pretty big cease and desist from Nintendo, where they scrubbed anything Nintendo from their website. But they did have, the ROMs. They had games on it. They even had like certain BIOS in case you needed that for, whatever emulator. It's the ROMs that they have issue with. So with the recent shutdown,
officially, that's all they can go after. But they still try to bully the creators of emulators to stop updating them and to remove them completely. People don't have access to emulators in the first place.
Yep. Like one of the biggest news recently was the shutdown of Yuzu, which they were to blame for that. They kind of gave Nintendo the ammo. The biggest thing is that they can't really do anything unless there's a profit to be had from creating and updating these emulators. And what they did on their Patreon was essentially lock new updates for patrons only. And that was the ammunition that Nintendo was able to use to get them shut down.
That's wild. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, there's no way Nintendo is going to let this fly, because like there's going to be an uptick on people pirating their games. The only way to play those versions of those games at this point is through an emulator or paying thousands for a console built in the early 90s or 2000s.
Right. Because I use that extremely loosely with the, Nintendo Classic, the Super Nintendo Classic. But those were so limited with the Nintendo Online Store. Yeah, they're working on it, I guess. But you can't play any Pokemon game prior to the Switch on those.
Which blows everyone's minds, because you know how many people would instantly buy a remake on the Switch? Like, even if you just were to resell Red, White, and Blue, Gold, Silver, Crystal, and Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, like the true classics, as full-priced games, like, for $40, because I believe that's what they were running back in those days, for $40 for each of those games, people would outright buy them and play them on the Switch. I can honestly tell you I would instantly buy it on the Switch if I could.
I get it. I honestly get it. It's just... I don't know what Nintendo's doing. Like, it's the one company where people just throw money at them. And I wonder if some sort of like complacency from them. I doubt it's any rights or anything.
I don't think it's that, because Nintendo's always making money. They're never really, I guess, like on a downturn, because all they have to do is release anything out of their hundreds IPs and they'll instantly make money from it. And I feel like they have a pretty decent formula to get things cooking pretty quickly, because honestly, Nintendo is probably the only releaser of games where they don't really delay after they announce the release date for their games. It's like, it's going to happen in 6 months. Sure enough, the game is released in 6 months. So I just think that they don't need it. So therefore, they're not doing it. But should they ever need it, they can easily do it and just rake in an easy revenue.
It's true. It'll honestly be one of the easiest things they can do, because I don't even think they would have to do much for it. They already have their emulators on the Switch. It would just be double checking that the game works on it and just adding it to the store. Because they have, what do they have? They have the Game Boy Color, the Game Boy Advance. I think they have the original Game Boy and then the Nintendo 64 one. I think that's the ones that they have, you know, aside from the Nintendo and Super Nintendo. There weren't Pokemon games for those.
The only problem that I can foresee, now, I mean, it's probably not truly a problem, but when Pokemon released games on the 3DS, when we first got our true dual screen, the bottom screen had touchpad kind of like mechanics for like mini games and certain interactions within the game itself. That part may not be too easy to replicate because the Switch only has one screen if you're just playing handheld. It's probably more doable if you're... No, because you can't project it because it has to be docked. So that's really the only thing that I can... Like those versions in the 3DS, we would lose access to that. But I'm sure we can easily emulate that just to put it... It'll just be a split screen for those games. I don't know.
No, I hear you, man. But you know, that's for Nintendo to make their however they want to make their money from that aspect. You know, there's not much that we can do. We can just
what's the P word I'm thinking of? Project? No.
My brain's not working. Okay. Moving on to my momentary lapse of brain function. I forget that this is console only, but you know, Rockstar started a subscription service back in 2022 called GTA Plus, which initially was meant to provide, you know, content for players that were enjoying GTA Online. You know, you would get additional benefits, whether it was like vehicles, clothing, in-game cash, anything along those lines. But that's seeing its first official price jump. It was $5.99 a month, and that's going up to $7.99 a month. And I believe you also get access to the Grand Theft Auto trilogy, that definitive edition, which did not get the love that it needed. And then the original Red Dead Redemption. And then there's rumors of Bully and LA Noire being added to that, to the service. So it's almost like a Netflix for their IPs, which is kind of weird. But I am honestly just looking forward to Grand Theft Auto 6. My main concern is one I've had since the trailer dropped, that they only mentioned Xbox and PlayStation. So I wonder if we're going to have to wait another year, like we had to wait for Grand Theft Auto 5 before we get a PC release.
Yeah, that would not be great. Honestly, that would hurt my heart because that's one title that I'm actually looking forward to. The trailer that we got that was hilarious in its own right was enough to tell me that they're going to put a lot into the game. And I mean, we're going to Florida, so I can only imagine the shenanigans that we're going to get from that alone. But I think it was already delayed once, right? We're looking at 25 or 26 at this point for release. Yeah,
2025. Yeah. Which, so, I mean, we're already like almost halfway through 2024.
No, we're not. It's been 3 months. It's been 4 months.
Right. I said almost.
That's how that works.
Bro, April is basically almost done.
Yep. And then we'll be 5 months.
Right.
Quick math.
And then six. And then we'll be halfway through the year. Like I said, why are you booing me? I'm right.
I don't know. Moving on. I'm going to segue over to NVIDIA because we haven't talked about them in a long time. So the 50K or 5000 series, 5K series cards, whatever, the 5090, 8070, you know, that series. They've already started talking about it. You know, they're saying it's coming. It's going to be twice as fast as the 5090 is gonna be twice as fast as the 4090, which is just crazy, right? Because the 4090 blew everything out of the water. Seriously. And now you're telling us that the 5090 is twice as good. And it's just one of those things, like, obviously this was possible already with the 4090, but they purposely under engineer it so that they have something to release every couple of years. And that's where we are. The 5090 is in the same boat. It's going to be better, which is good, because it would suck if they release a new series and it was worse than the series before. But they were initially projecting Q2 of 25, And now people are rumoring that it's probably going to be Q4 of this year for that to launch.
That'll be something to see. I would not mind upgrading because I'm currently on a 2070 myself. But that sounds like something that would warrant an upgrade for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's 50% better, or I'm sorry, 100% better is a pretty good reason to upgrade your card. I always say that to determine if the next hardware is worth it, I just do a simple 30% analysis. If it's 30% better than what I currently have, then to me, it's worth the upgrade. So they're basically saying that the 4090 is going to be 100%, or the 5090 is going to be 100% better than the 4090, which is crazy. And yes, 100% does mean two times better.
Yes. Which that's what it's going to be for me, because however better the 4090 is to the 270, I'm going right.
Now compound that another 100%, like wild. Yeah. So yeah, no, for sure. Curious to see what this hardware is going to ask for in terms of power. Curious to see what it's going to do in the realm of gaming, because remember, they no longer make these with gaming in mind. Gaming is honestly now third in priority for graphics cards. It has officially been taken over by AI as number one and content creation as number two.
Really? Content creators?
Yeah. Look at NVIDIA's 4K series reveal. Nothing about gaming. All of it about content creation.
I mean, nothing against them. I'm just trying to think, was it like the rendering?
Rendering videos? For videos, but rendering for Blender, for animations. That realm space for like people that are constantly, even photo editing. If you're processing anything that requires a crap ton of graphical processing, images, animation, videos, even for YouTubers, if they're just doing their YouTube edits, right? The more hardware you have, the faster that's going to render, the faster you're going to be able to scrub through it. So they are now putting them on the top of the list for who this hardware is for. Luckily, it does the same thing for gaming. We all use the same hardware, but their marketing is now geared more towards AI and content creation.
All right. It's definitely interesting to see, because you know, for the longest time, like, these cards were just catered to gamers.
Decades.
So to see that shift, you know, being third from being the only one, it's pretty interesting to see. But you know, as long as it's not super inflated, like, what'd you pay for yours? Was it like 1200?
Yeah, 1200 for the 4080 Super.
Right.
Which, you know, was only behind the 4090 by about 5% or so in performance. So no reason to get the 4090. But the 5000 series, if they're going to be 100% better out of the gate, I mean, it instantly puts me now back to the predicament I was before, where I was behind on hardware. But I mean, it is what it is. That's how it's always going to be. You know, after 6 months, you already have outdated hardware and anything with computers. So it's long time coming, but it's just one of those things. You know, they knew the 5000 series were coming out, but they just released the Supers 2 months ago or something like that. For them to release an entire generation the same year, it's just they do not have their ducks in a row over at NVIDIA, and it kills me, because they could have just done a better job releasing this appropriately, and you know, it just benefit the people a little bit better. But it just looks like they're playing catch up with how they're trying to release things.
Right. I wonder if it's like an inventory thing, or
yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's probably an investor thing. Their stock, but their stock is the highest that it's ever been. Like, they've only been climbing.
Yeah. So I mean, we'll see what happens. If they do stick to the, because the Q4 release is a rumor. It seems likely. But remember, NVIDIA said initially that they weren't thinking about it until Q2 of 25. But we'll see what happens. If more things pop up, we'll definitely share that as it comes.
You know, did you enjoy Stardew Valley? I don't know if you did or not.
I enjoyed it. It just wasn't one of those games that I was good at. So I didn't play it for very long. I think I played it in about a month. It's one of those games where no one holds your hand. You kind of just figure it all out. I like to look at it as like Minecraft. You just get thrown into a world and you just go. And that's basically what Stardew Valley was for me. And gotcha. As cool as that was, I had no direction. So my interest fizzled out.
No, that's valid. Only reason I bring it up is because there was a mod that someone made. It replaced someone in the game, one of the NPCs with a Starion.
That's so funny.
Yeah, no, I got a pretty good chuckle out of it, to be honest.
That's pretty funny.
I played it mainly with my wife. And we played it like for like 3 months straight or something like that. We played it.
It might be easier with people because honestly, like it's just.
But she also knew what she was doing.
I don't know. I'll forget the quest. Someone will tell me that they have a problem, and then I'll walk into a cave, and then I'll just start mining and looking for things, and I completely forgot that. So it's like it did not do a good job at reminding you. Maybe there was a quest log, and I just didn't know how to find it, or a journal, or something equivalent to like because that whoever developed. That team that developed it, they did such a good job with like that domino effect of events where certain parts of that world wouldn't show itself to you unless you did certain things prior for other people. So it's just there. It's an immense game and there's a lot to do in it. And, you know, obviously it rotates around the four seasons, which then that in itself generates like what you can do during that season and what your priorities are. And it was a lot. Yeah. With like no direction.
Crops and yeah. You know, I'm not 100%. I'm actually double checking right now, but I'm pretty sure it was developed by one dude.
Was it? I want to say that I knew that. That's why I said it with the one guy. But then I'm like, there's just so much. Could it really have been one person?
Yeah, one guy. He goes by Concerned Ape. But it's his name is Eric.
Yeah. I mean, the dude did a fantastic job, like I said, with what contents he put into this one world. And like I said, you wouldn't have access to certain parts of it unless you unlocked other things for other people. So good job. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Lack of direction. I would have played it for longer if I was constantly reminded to go help whatever.
You know, the first time I played Skyrim, that's what I did. I actually had to put it down because I was pretty overwhelmed. It was like, it was honestly really like the first real open world game that I played like that. And I was just like, I have no idea what I'm doing. So I didn't pick it up till like years
later. That was me with Fallout 4.
Right.
I was not prepared for the bombardment of quests and mm-hmm. the fact that you can just stockpile them and they will just sit there waiting for help as you move around the wasteland. It was a shift in how I operated in games, and because they do such a good job at filling it with side quests, and a lot of them are so intense that you even forget that it's a side quest and not part of the main quest.
It was massive. I remember the first time coming out of Fallout 3 on the Xbox 360, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. Like, I went over to Megaton. It was the first time. I think I accidentally shot somebody, so they all came after me. It was not a good time for me. It was not a good time.
Yeah, I love that. Do they have chickens in Fallout 4? I want to say, or I might be thinking of Skyrim, where you kill the chicken, and then the entire town turns against you. Classic.
Classic. Yeah, we're all related to Link. He's our ancestor. there's a wonder how long the sale is going. I can't believe they don't have Halo War. But there's currently a Xbox Game Studio publisher sale on Steam. They got a couple good ones. Age of Empires 2, big fan. They have the Halo Master Chief Collection for $10, which I didn't know went all the way up to Halo 4. That was very, very interesting to see. The Ori games are on sale, if that's your thing. State of Decay, some Forza games. I think we talked about Quantum Break the other day, though. That was great. As a standalone, Halo Reach is $2.50. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, they're a good game. The story was fantastic, and multiplayer was just as good.
Oh man, I could not get enough of multiplayer, and this is coming from someone who's bad at multiplayer. But there was something about getting in the zone. Team SWAT was my thing. That was like getting those headshots with DMR. That was some of the most fun I've had in multiplayer. Like yep. Slayer with all the new suit abilities, armor lock, the camo and all that stuff really wasn't for me. You know, you really had to know like where all the weapons were. That was not where my multiplayer brain has ever been. But something about SWAT and an Oddball. I miss Oddball.
Yeah, good times. Yeah, Reach was peak for me. I'm not going to lie.
Me too. I honestly could not get enough of it. It was so amazing. For anyone interested, it's not my thing, but remember Telltale Games got shut down a couple years ago. The studio shut down. But they wanted to go with like one last project. So we're actually getting The Wolf Among Us 2, which was probably one of their most popular games other than The Walking Dead one. But Jeff Keighley actually shared some new images. The game itself was announced, I think, like in 2017 at a Comic-Con event. I don't know where the hell my brain just went. But we're getting a sequel, so if that's your thing, keep an eye out for that. That is definitely in the pipeline. And I know I've mentioned on the podcast a few times where I just get in the zone and I just want like some sort of city builder or, you know, overlord base management or something like that. I caught a trailer of a new one called Fabledom that actually looks really fun. That's set to come out next week. You know, it's standard city builder, isometric looking. But other than like the typical mayoral stuff that you had like in Frostpunk, right? You gotta build houses, farms, resources, manage the economy. And then they have like a magical aspect to it, like curses, heroes, magic beanstalks, and things like that. I'm kind of curious.
This looks like it's running on the for original Fortnite engine.
That's crazy. But yeah, it just caught my eye earlier today. And I actually am pretty excited to see what that's going to offer.
You know what it's releasing on? Looks like it's just Steam. Well, I'm looking at the art, and this totally seems something that would release on Nintendo, and I'm just surprised that it's not. Also, according to this, it came out already.
It did come out already. It came out last week, last Saturday. So, yeah. It's an early access. Yeah. But currently...
How that changes everything.
It does, man. Like, well, there's only been, like two games. It was Baldur's Gate and Valheim. I think those are the only ones I definitely made like, an effort to get it in early access. I don't know if I want to do another one. Like, I played this game called Medieval Dynasty, and you start off as like a random or something. And it takes place just like you guessed, like in some sort of medieval world where you go, you like make relationships with people, you build a home, you know, ultimately like even like gaining, like some sort of status where, you know, people pay you taxes and stuff like that. And it was fun for a while, but I think the medieval setting didn't really do it for me. But that same studio is working on one called Sengoku Dynasty. It's the same exact game, but in Japan. And
sold.
And I'm sold. but they're doing that one in early access, and I was like, I don't know if I have it in me to get that. So I just wishlisting all of these things, and it's not even like they're, you know, big games. Like Fabledom, I think it's like $20. Sengoku is like $30. I was like, but do I want to? Sengoku is mostly positive as well, but recently I think it's had some mixed reviews. It's probably because it is early access. It's just limited, you know?
Yeah, and it's like you said, hopefully it gets completed, right? Because you don't want to get stuck in that loop where it's just an early access for years and then the full game never comes because people just keep buying the early access. So there's no true motivation for the devs to really finish the game if they're still collecting a check. That's an unfortunate truth to this and a risk when you jump into early access. Right. I think Baldur's Gate 3 is the only early access game because we did it for Pal World. And I'm honestly worried that Pal World is going to fall into that. But Larian Studios, I didn't think they would keep it in early access for 5 years, like we always see. Pal World, however, I can see that happening because it's been a while and they're still just releasing early access updates with no date on official full release of the game.
Yeah, so the only thing that gives me a little hope is that Microsoft partnership. I don't think they're just going to give them free money for nothing. I think they're going to kind of put them in a workhorse kind of mode and really make them put effort. I think they've put out like new Pokemon and
PvP. Still update. Calls them Pokemon. No, they did. There was a more release, more items. They changed the stats and specs to a lot of. They updated a lot of abilities. Like, if we were to jump into it, it's a completely different just environment of, like, what we would expect. It isn't, the Mons do not play the same anymore. And apparently they updated how you operate your base and how effective they are at your base. So you're not grinding as much, trying to get things that you need. And they added more iron, rocks, boulders, or whatever, so you can mine and closer to base so that you don't have to hunt for iron as much as before. So they're listening to the gripes that people are putting in, and there's still people that play this day in and day out, and there's people still trying to figure out the best way to break the game, as you're gonna get with any genre. And it's gonna be one, once if they do come up with a release date, that's gonna pick up steam again, for sure, because there's just a lot in there, and there's a lot of enjoyable things in there
for sure. I've from what we played on it, it was great. I definitely uninstalled only because I didn't want to get burnt out on it. That was like the only thing that turned me off from it, just because we hit like level 20 something like pretty quick.
You did,
and 50 was cap. 50 was cap. No, I was definitely fiending over the game.
My man hit 100 hours after the first day, so.
Man's attacking me.
I mean, these are just facts. I remember we first started up. I launched the world. We got to like a level 11. I come back the next day. Homeboy's level 22 on his own world.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
I don't think fiending is the word. I think my character's like level 16 or 17. Honestly, I don't even think I ever broke 20. Man, talking about level cap. Good game, though.
How about them Yankees? I still miss Elite Dangerous so much. I hate not having time to play what I want to play. It's just
I jumped on the other day, and thank God they got rid of the if your missions expire, like they put crazy bounties on you. Now if they expire while you're offline, nothing happens. But at least that's what it was for me, because I remember the last time I played it before a couple weeks ago, I had like 20 or some odd missions there. And I'm like, crap, I'm going to have so many fines for not turning these in. I log in, there was nothing. I was in the middle of nowhere. Unfortunately, I was out of fuel. So I basically just had to park next to a sun and try to refuel. And I'm like, this is taking too long. And then I just turned it off.
Right. Okay. I did it in the... I played a little bit on the Steam Deck, and now that you mention it, I think I did let a lot of missions expire, and I must have had a bounty from previously. I must have, like, dropped some cargo or something.
Yeah.
But
or maybe there's a timer, like, if you don't log in after. All I know is that I had a shit ton of missions, and I was worried about that, and then nothing to worry about. Nothing was there. My problem was that I got too close to the sun, so it burnt my auto docker thing, so I had a... pilot myself, and I crashed into everything and got blown up. But skill issue. I hate that I have to pilot whenever it makes me. It's the worst.
I see people like use like commands, use like a joystick, use the keyboard. Like I have to be like a controller player on this.
I keyboard mouse. I haven't played on control in a long time, but I keyboard mouse for Elite.
So fun. So much fun. That's going to be it for me, honestly. I don't have anything else.
You want to sit here and talk about Elite Dangerous for another hour?
I mean, I don't know if that's going to have to be a whole other episode. Noobs talk about Elite.
To start a whole different podcast for Elite Dangerous. All right. I have
Baldur's Gate, Elite Dangerous. We have a couple. We have a couple things. Halo.
Yeah. Gaming's great. I don't see anything else. I don't have anything else. I'll go ahead and sign us out. All right. Well, thank you all for hanging out with us yet another episode. If you want to let us know what you thought of this episode, any previous episode, or what you would like for us to talk about in any future episode, you can always reach out to us at Twitter at @2guys1level. Again, thank you so much for hanging out with us, and we will catch you all next time. Until then.